We now present Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith.
My friends, as I was reading the newspaper today, I was tremendously impressed, as I have been over and over again, with what low standards we have in the world. So I'm coming back to you today for this message on the first Psalm. I want to call your attention again to certain things that a happy man or a good man does not do, and certain things that a good man does do, and what are the consequences of a good man not doing things that he should not do and doing the things he should do, and how we need today some standards. I just read in the paper where a famous actress has a daughter 11 years old in California, went over to Europe to make some pictures and got over there, and undoubtedly, while she's still married to her husband, she's over there maybe making love to another man, I suppose. She's going to marry him, they say. She's just waiting for a divorce. And you read not long ago where another actress traveled around with a little child, with a man she wasn't married, a man that has a lot of money and supposed to represent the aristocracy of a certain country, traveled around with him, and before she was married to him. How our standards are down in this country. How we need to set them up again. Now, the Bible sets up those standards for us. And the first Psalm says, and it's a wonderful Psalm, that a good man does not do certain things. A good man does do certain things. Now, the only way we can judge people in this world is by what they do and by what they don't do. That's the only way we can judge them. Now, somebody said, well, doesn't the Bible say you are not to judge anybody? Oh, now, let's understand that. It says, judge not that ye be not judged. But that means you're not to usurp the place of God and send people to hell, really. You're not to become the judge in the sense that you usurp the authority of God. Not that at all. But the Bible also makes it plain, and Jesus said you can judge a tree by the fruit it bears. The only way I can tell whether a tree is a peach tree or not, of course, from knowing a peach tree, I might know what it was from the limbs and the leaves. But if it has peaches on it, it's a peach tree. And if it has apples, it's an apple tree. Now, if a man does certain things that are not right, I can say, well, that man's not the right kind of man. I don't care what he says. If he doesn't do right, he isn't right. And you can, the only way we can judge people is by what they do and what they do not do. Now, God knows what they are before they do what they should not do or do what they should do. God knows them. He looks at the heart, but man looks at the outward appearance. Now, the psalmist here tells us about how you can know a man and tells us what kind of man he is and what a happy man he is. Now, he said, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Now, he says that's the way. If you see a man walking around with the counsel of the ungodly, stand in the way of sinners, sit in the seat of the scornful. He's not a good man. He's not a happy man. Now, he said that a good man does not only avoid certain things, but he does certain things. Now, he said his delight, that is, the good man, the happy man, the man that's blessed, he said that man delights in the law of the Lord. He has a good time with God. He has a better time in fellowship with God than he ever has at some wild party. You know, if you can have a better time at a cocktail party than you can at a prayer meeting, you're a sinner. Just put that down and remember. Don't ever call yourself a Christian. If you enjoy a worldly, godless, sinful atmosphere more than you enjoy being with God's people, then you are just an old sinner. Now, you don't care what you say about yourself. You can pat yourself on the back and throw kisses at yourself and think you're all right, but you're not all right. You're just a miserable old sinner. A good man delights in the law of the Lord. You know, there's no fellowship in the world like Christian fellowship. Doesn't mean that you don't have a sense of humor. Doesn't mean that you don't joke and laugh. But you just love God's people and the fellowship with God's people. And you love the things that God says. And you love the gospel. That's what the Bible says. They that know God hear us. That is, they hear the gospel. They hear the exaltation of Christ. You know, if you can enjoy jazz music better than you can a gospel hymn, you just have a jazzy heart, that's all. Now, any good Christian man enjoys a gospel hymn more than he enjoys a jazzy song. You're just not right. Now, you can just test yourself now, and other people can judge you. And in that sense, I'm not sitting on the throne and pronouncing sentence on you, but I'm following the injunction to judge a tree by the fruit it bears. Now, is it a good man, a happy man, a man that's blessed of God, a blessed man, is a man that keeps good company, and he delights in the law of the Lord, and he thinks about good things. Because what men think, that's what you are. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And no man can delight in the law of the Lord and think on the things of God and enjoy the thought of God and the nearness of God unless his heart's right. Now, he says, the man that does not do certain things and does do certain things, there are certain things true of him. Now, you can mark what these things are. Now, he said, that man, that person, is like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now, a man that doesn't go with a bad crowd, doesn't get advice from ungodly people, doesn't walk in that council, doesn't stand in the way of sinners, doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful, but the man who delights in the law of the Lord and meditates upon the law of God day and night, well, he's like a tree planted, not growing wild. You know, a tree planted means that some intelligent person back of it planted it. You know, there are trees that grow in the woods. Of course, God planted all of them. But a tree planted is a... Well, it carries the idea that somebody put it where it is, see? That kind of man is always where God puts him. He's a tree planted by the rivers of water. And God always puts you in the right place. He puts you where you can get the water of life and the things that you need. Did you ever plant something? You know, I remember one time when I was over in Alabama, we lived in Montgomery. Miss Jones and I hadn't been married very many years. And I held a revival meeting in a little town in the state. And I told somebody I liked to garden. And we bought a little home, and our first home, you know how you feel about it. We're going to have a wonderful garden. We had about 10 feet square in the backyard. And I was told about the garden I was going to plant, you know, never had a home. And so I said something about it. I went home, and a friend of mine sent me a great big basket full to overflowing of all sorts of garden plants. And I got those plants at home. I got off and went down to the express office and got them and got on the streetcar. We didn't have any automobile. I was a little embarrassed with the great big basket I had, but I took it on out home. And didn't have any hoe either. So I stopped down the hardware store and bought a hoe. My wife thought I'd gone crazy, and I got home and got off there. And I took my hoe and went out in the yard, and I just went to digging, you know, and did the best I could. It was an awful hard garden plot. But I got it fixed up. And Miss Jones came out and said, they'll never live, they'll never live, they'll never live. Well, she was right about most of them. Most of them died. But, you know, one of those cabbage plants that I planted was the biggest cabbage I ever saw. And I'd take it out there and I'd say, you see how my cabbage plants turned out? This one was just planted in the right place, you know, and cultivated properly. And I'd call my neighbors in. And when I cut that cabbage plant way later, I showed it off to people. I took pride in it because I'd planted it, you see. It was my cabbage. Of course, some of them died. They were not planted right. And they weren't cultivated right. But I wrote my friend and told him what size cabbage one of them was. I didn't say it was the only one. But what one of them was, and what a marvelous cabbage I had planted, and what wonderful, how much I appreciate it. You know, men and women, you know, I think God takes an interest in his own, don't you? I think if I say to God, now, God, I'm going to delight in your law. I'm going to try to do what you want me to do. And I'm not going to run around getting advice from wicked people. I'm going to exalt you. You know, I think God takes delight in us. Don't you think he does? I do. Because we're like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He plants us where we can grow. He plants us where we can get what we need in the way of vitality and strength. And when the drought comes and all the rest of the plants are withered, God's plants are green and beautiful because God planted us. Now, that's what he says. He says that if we do not run around with the wrong crowd and do not get advice from the wrong source and delight in the law of the Lord, we're like a tree planted. Now, I ought to have a whole period for the next line, but I'll just have to touch it. Now he said, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now he's like a tree planted by rivers of water, brings forth his fruit at his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now he doesn't say necessarily that the man prospers himself. It doesn't say that I personally prosper. That is in a worldly sense. All men that are doing the will of God do not prosper as far as the world considers prosperity. But the thing he does prospers. Now listen, friend, you cannot be a failure. At least your job cannot fail to succeed if you're in the will of God. Every human being in the will of God is a success. His work succeeds. Nothing you do in the name of the Lord and for the glory of God is ever in vain. Bread cast upon the water comes back again. You know that old poem, that beautiful sentimental poem? You remember it, we used to say it so much. Full many a flower is born to blush unseen and waste its fragrance on desert air. You know, I don't believe that. I think God loves the flowers. If he doesn't love them, why does he plant so many of them in the jungles when nobody ever sees them except the eyes of God? He looks at them. And no flower ever planted by Almighty God ever wastes its fragrance. There may be no human nostrils there to catch the odor of the flower and the perfume. There may be nobody around, but no flower that God ever planted ever was a wasted flower. And no life ever consecrated and surrendered to God was ever wasted. You can rest assured of that. You may be living somewhere in a little home, and you may not feel it you're very much. And it may look like around you there are so many people that are so much more successful than you. But don't you worry. If you are right with God, if you're where God put you, if you're in the will of God, if you're dedicated and surrendered and consecrated and yielded to God, if you delight in the things of God and you love God and you trust God, then what you do will prosper. And when we get to heaven, we're going to find that some of the greatest people that ever lived on this earth and the most successful people the world ever knew were not people in the limelight. They didn't make the headlines in the paper, but they made the headlines in the press of heaven. And the angels gave out the story of the wonderful achievement of some people that in this world were considered lowly and unknown. And they didn't count for much in the eyes of man, but in the eyes of God they meant something. So whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. God will take care of you. Listen, if you think the world can take better care of you than God, and the devil can take better care of you than the Heavenly Father, you go on. But give me God and his protection and his grace. I'd rather have him. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world has to offer, the song says. Oh, I'd rather be in his keeping, under the shadow of his wing, under his protecting care, than have all that men can give. Because what men have to offer may not last, but what God has to offer, you can keep forever. How wonderful it is to be a child of God and refuse to do the things that we ought not to do and do the things that God commands us to do. And if so, we're like a tree planted by the rivers of water that will bring forth our fruit in the season, and the things we do will prosper. Our Father, help us to be faithful and true, dedicated and yielded and consecrated to thee. Help us to walk with thee day by day. Help us to live up to the standards that God has set for his children and never waver. Help us, Lord. Give us the strength we need to do what God would have us do, knowing that after all, the things we do for God are the things that count for time and for eternity. Hear us in this prayer. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
You have just heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. This program is sponsored by Bob Jones University.